kwaan kwaam nyako na wugu na wundukufu ata milele.
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe. Jambo, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of the Radio Harambe podcast brought to you by JamboEveryone.com. I am Dave McBride, broadcasting from the Radio Harambe studios, and joining me as always, a man whose audio animatronic likeness unfortunately only has about 32 axes of motion, it's Safari Mike. Mike, how are you?
That was a very poignant and, relevant comment, Dave. I'm fine.
Where do you find your audio animatronic? That's sick.
Well, today it's in Napdale, Dave. You know where Napdale is? You have a shot at this one.
Napdale.
Right.
Arizona. No, that's...
Can I guess?
That's Scottsdale.
California.
California. Actually, technically, Dave is closer.
Ah, damn it.
New Mexico?
No. Scotland.
Scotland.
Hey, I don't know. You could go the other way around.
I guess that's true.
The only reason I say California is because I know a Palmdale in California.
Well, I was thinking Scottsdale.
That was smart.
Well, Dave, I'm here in Scotland studying the beaver. It's the first animal, a mammal, that they're reintroducing in the United Kingdom. They're trying to reintroduce it to help with water control. And we are here as the program is finishing in 2015. And they think it's going to be a success. And we're putting together the project and putting together the numbers.
Fascinating.
It is.
Water control.
Yeah, well, they figured out the beavers, when they dam up swamps and things like that. That does two things. One, it prevents overflow and major flooding during the rainy season. But even the contrary is also true. During the dry season, it actually continues because of the backlog in the marshes. It allows a trickle of water to keep going down the river. So it actually keeps the place, you know, wet during the dry season.
That's awesome. In Napdale.
I love beavers. I really do. They're fascinating.
And also joining us today from the exotic forests of suburbia, the voice you've been hearing there is the Disney hipster's very own Andrew. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I feel comfortable enough to interject during
always.
Mike's introduction. I'm sorry, but I feel like I'm family and I can just do that.
Absolutely.
You are definitely.
Absolutely.
Because nice. I just can't keep my big mouth shut.
I really invite anyone to interrupt me because you're all much more interesting than I am. On today's show, we will discuss all the news from Disney's Animal Kingdom and the rest of Walt Disney World. And then in our final segment, we will be interviewing Andrew on his brand new album of all original songs based entirely on the subject of Walt Disney World called Let's Move to Disney World. So hold on for that. It's going to be in a little bit, because right now we're going to get into the local news, and we got an awful lot of it since the last time we did a show. And we will start off with an interview published on slashfilm.com where James Cameron appears, and I say appears, to have leaked the name for the upcoming Avatar land. And he said, quote, "It's going to be called, I believe, Pandora, the Land of Avatar." Now, all over the internet after this, everybody began running headlines proclaiming we have a title for the new land right from the horse's mouth, you know, all this.
Right.
But let me just say this. Besides the old kind of things can always change, yada, 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 it sounds to me, from the way he said this, that, and I didn't hear him say it, only read it, but it sounds like he is a little less than 100% sure that he's right here.
Of course he is, because it's not official or announced. Do you remember when Walt Disney was on the Tencennial or whatever, and he called It's a Small World the Children of the World ride?
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Like, but it kind of sounded official. I think, I don't know, nothing's official. He's just blowing smoke up everyone. I mean, it could very well be called that, but no, I mean, we'll know when it's announced.
Well, I got two edits to make, and we're only 4 minutes into the show. So
what did I say? Or did I say the S word? I didn't say like a bad word. Like
yes, you did.
Or the F word?
Yeah. Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Well, nobody will hear it but you.
I didn't say the really bad word, right?
It depends on what you call that.
I don't think I did. Okay, keep going.
Mike, your thoughts on the Cameron thing?
I mean, we all knew it wasn't going to be Avatar Land, although we figured it was going to be Pandora at some point in time. It's really much ado about nothing. I mean, it could change 15 times between now and the time it actually opens.
Yeah, and people really ran this as a headline. I mean, this was like, you know, they found something here. And you could tell just from the way he said it that he didn't really know what it was going to be called.
Yeah.
Later on in the same interview, however, Cameron did have some what I thought was kind of fascinating specifics about the audio animatronics being worked on. Here is the quote. He said, "The animatronics for the Na'vi characters are going to be fantastic. For example, their early animatronics would use 12 axes of motion, and I think the most they've ever done was 32 axes recently. I think they're up to 64 just in the face of the Na'vi characters." Now, that sounds pretty impressive when you think of it in that, and you think about, you know, some of the technology in the latest animatronics. And anyone who listens to the show has heard me say on many occasions and complain kind of how interminably long it takes for Imagineering to build anything these days. But it does seem like it's time for me to kind of cut them a little bit of a break. There does seem to be a lot of engineering, a lot of technology going into this, the floating mountains, the bioluminescent scenery. I mean, they seem to really be, you know, casting a wide net as to what they're going to bring into this project. Andrew?
It's hard to say because he does not work at a theme park, right? Mm-hmm. And like, who's to say that Universal isn't making animatronics with that many axes of motion. Okay. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And also Disney's not really building it. Garner Holt is. And who's he actually talking to there? It's hard to say who his source of information is. You know what I mean? And modern animatronics haven't been made by Disney in years. So who's
That's
to
true.
Say? I mean, who's to say? Disney hasn't made animatronics in like a decade.
So you're thinking he's just what? Pontificating here?
Either that or technology's really been expounded upon in the last decade and we just haven't known about it. You know what I mean? It's not like Disney is making leaps and bounds. It's that Disney hasn't really done good animatronics lately. You know? I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say. Maybe they are revolutionary. They could also be that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I said, this whole interview is kind of up in the air whether any of it means anything, including the name of the land, yeah. The thing about the animatronics. I think the most interesting thing about this is that he mentioned Na'vi animatronics, period.
Right.
You know, not how advanced they are, but that they are some in general. You know, because right. who knew what there was going to be?
Right.
And I would presume that would be on the quote unquote boat ride. I mean, I can't imagine it's not going to be part of the Soarin' ride that you keep hearing about. I'm guessing
right.
There's going to be Na'vi on the boat. And
right.
What kind of.
Right.
So.
And Mike.
That is interesting.
We had been hearing on a few sources, people have been reporting that the boat ride may be in the process of being shelved
yeah.
or pushed
yeah.
back or something to that effect. And it certainly seems from the information we're getting here, and there's another part in the interview where he says something to the effect of there's going to be, you know, multiple rides. So, I mean, unless James Cameron is completely uninformed about what's going on, which I don't really think is going to be the case at this point, but it could be.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, you never know.
I doubt that he's uninformed.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem like right. that rumor may be a little bit... I might be a little skeptical about that rumor right now.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, there's so many contradicting
Mike,
things. You hear
the
rumor that
the
boat ride is being
boat
pushed
ride
to phase
shelved.
Two or shelved or pushed to phase two.
Right.
But then you see this interview, then you see what we're going to talk about in a few minutes in terms of the land being cleared and just how much land that encompasses. And if the boat ride's going to be integrated into the show building itself, how are they going to put that to phase two? I mean, it just that seems contradictory to me.
Now, folks, for those guys listening, I know this sounds peculiar because Mike has called us from places that only he really knows how to pronounce. Yet, for reasons passing understanding, he has a worse connection in Scotland than he does in the Amazonian jungle. So we are having a little bit of an issue with hearing each other, but we're getting there. So bear with us.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Did I break up? Was that
no,
the problem?
No, you didn't. You didn't. But the two of you were talking over each other a little
That's
bit
there. Okay.
Because I don't think you can hear each other very well.
I'm used to it. I'm used to it. Have you ever heard my show before? Trust me. This is like heaven right now.
I stopped listening after you guys bashed Universal so bad.
Oh my God. Come on. Come on. A fair and honest review.
I joke. I kid.
I'm over it. I'm never talking about Universal again.
For those, we're going to get off subject here, but for those who don't know what we're talking about, Andrew's show, they did a review. Well, you guys went to Universal.
Yes, and then we gave it a fair review. We never talk about anything but Disney on my show except for one episode, and then everyone decides that we are Satan, basically, and gives us these horrible reviews. And starts writing into the show basically saying they're never going to listen to us again. And I'm not talking about Disney fans. I'm talking about Universal fans who said we were so unfair, even though I went back and counted how many times I said I loved Universal. I said it 14 times. How much I love Universal. And they said I was unfair and biased towards Disney. Of course I'm biased towards Disney.
You
I've
do
been
a
there
Disney
25
show.
Times. I've only been to Universal once. Yes, it's called Disney Hipsters Podcast. For crying out loud. What did you expect? And I said I love Universal 14 times. Are you kidding me? Sorry.
Anyway,
off topic. Back to local news.
Back to local news. Let's talk about some aerial photos, shall we?
Okay.
Two interesting images from the animal kingdom. Very interesting, actually. Were released this week by a photographer named Scott Keating, who does this. He takes aerial photos. He takes more than just aerial photos.
I love this guy.
Yeah, but he takes some...
He's the best.
Yeah, he takes some photo high up, above, straight down kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You can find them both by reading our blog this week. We have links to them. Let's talk about Avatar, and so we can kind of close our big blue book on that for the day, because the first photo we got was of the Avatar project. Andrew, you've seen this.
Yes.
Quick impressions on what you get out of that.
That they're moving along. They're chugging along quick. Like that, I think, is very impressive. The from Festival of the Lion King closing to now, they're moving along. And I think that's impressive and great. And I have very high hopes for what they plan on doing. It's a big area, much bigger than it looked when Camp Minnie Mickey was there.
Mm-hmm.
Very little of it was utilized.
Mike, I think the size is really what's getting everybody, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you take the picture that you see from that photographer and then compare it to maybe like a Google Maps of other areas, it's roughly the same. So the land that they've cleared is roughly the same size as both Dino Land and the Nemo Theater, area put together. So it's huge. It's really a huge area.
Enormous. And it's so sad how little was utilized for Camp Minnie Mickey. Not that much was there, but the fact that it could have been so much more. And like, you know, of course, harkening back, Beastly Kingdom would have been enormous. Like they clearly had that land parceled out for something bigger.
Right.
And then they never utilize it. So I'm excited that if at the very least Animal Kingdom is getting much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, at the very least.
You know, the thing that comes to my mind, Mike, and I think a lot of people don't know this, but they're talking about this big e-ticket ride in terms of it being like Soarin'. And if anybody's seen the Soarin', if you've ever gotten a glimpse behind and seen the Soarin' show building, it's gigantic.
Right.
Yeah, it is.
You know, so this could very well be, you know, 60% of this space being taken up just by show buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff you'll never see in an exterior, certainly not a walk around kind of place.
But the good thing about that is everyone's assuming, I think at least I am, that the Soarin' building is going to be underneath, or the Soarin' building, the whatever the attraction is that's like Soarin', is going to be under the floating mountain. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
That's what we're hearing.
Like that's what everyone's assuming, right?
Right.
Yes.
And, in which case, then it's going to be practical. Just like Tough to Be a Bug under a Tree of Life is practical. You know, like it makes for a beautiful show scene on the exterior. So I think everyone's assuming that, in which case, amazing, like great use of space, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Also, let's talk about the other photo that Scott Keating put up. And this is one that really just confirms something, Mike, you've been talking about for months.
Right.
And now everybody seems kind of surprised by it because the photo came out behind the, which just proves nobody listens to us, behind the Mombasa marketplace, there is a project of significant size being worked on. Disney's been extremely tight-lipped about this. I mean, there's been nothing coming from Disney at all. No kind of teaser or anything about this. But, Mike, for those who haven't heard the show, why don't you repeat what you know about what's going on back there?
Sure. What I was told a few months ago now was that that area is going to essentially be like a Harambe market area. So that clearing that you see in this photograph is going to be basically what I was told is to sort of compare it to the Sunset Ranch market on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood Studios. And that's sort of three or four smaller counter service type places mixed in amongst, you know, seating areas and sort of like that, almost like what Sunny Eclipse is with the bays. There's a couple of different spots where you can get various different things. And, you know, there's plenty of seating and all that kind of stuff. And it's going to stretch all the way down to the path that leads between Africa and Asia. So it'd almost be another way to get in and out of Harambe, much like what they're going to eventually do by the Festival of the Lion King Theater and let you walk down towards Avatar Land down that path. This will be another way so you don't have to come in and out of that one main thoroughfare where Tamu Tamu and Tusker House kind of and the Dawa Bar all are. So it's going to be more food from what I understand, and it may eventually be a place where you'll be able to get Dole Whips. I mean, what I've heard is that the fruit market at the end of the road now over by Kilimanjaro Safaris may get revamped and serve Dole Whips permanently, or maybe they may be moved over to where this or eventually be moved over where this market is. So there's going to be a lot more counter service options. And we've talked about this before in terms of as they're getting close to opening up the Rivers of Light, theoretically being open later, they're going to have to increase the food options. And this is going to be one of them.
And now are you accessing this? Will people be accessing this path kind of in between Ziwani and Rafiki's or the, you know, the entrance to Rafiki's?
Right. So when you go, you can, if you look at the picture, you'll see where the actual construction wall is right now that you right in front of Zawadi's in on the way towards the Wildlife Express. So all that will be opened up eventually into this kind of market area, but you can actually walk through it all the way down to, this is what I'm hearing, walk through it all the way down back to the path on the other side of Tamu Tamu.
Oh, okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So it still brings us all to the one path leading to Asia. It's not going to end up in Asia somewhere.
Okay. No, I mean, there's no real way. I mean, they could extend like a path down towards, because over there is that kind of.
If they went around, it looks like it'll bump into the train, essentially, yeah. Right?
Correct.
The wildlife train.
Right.
Yeah, so there's nowhere for it to go.
Yeah. I mean, you could get access that. And if you guys remember, there's sort of that kind of little path that goes off into the woods a little bit over, you know,
Over maybe where Turk used to meet over there, right?
Right. Correct. I suppose it could meet there somewhere, but it really can't go all the way to Asia.
Okay. Right. Gotcha.
And I don't think that even makes sense.
No,
like, I don't think there needs to be one. I know that's been conjecture for the last couple of months or whatever. I don't think it's pointless. It's pointless. That path is big enough.
Yeah, it looks like they're building a significant path there, and to have a little bit more food options, we're always up for that.
Especially, it's big enough, especially since it seems that the Rivers of Light is not going to be really focused around the whole river, but more towards Everest. If they were going to have like a boat parade where you're going to have to build stuff along the river, then that could get clogged up as they were building that, and maybe you would want to build another path so that you wouldn't have to, you know, go through that like you do Illuminations and stuff like that. But that doesn't seem to be the case.
Well, shall we talk about Rivers of Light since you mentioned it?
Sure, why not?
The website WDWMagic.com reported last week the Rivers of Light Nighttime Water Show, which we've all seen pictures of and artist renderings, is now on schedule to debut at Disney's Animal Kingdom in the spring of 2016, which I think was a bit later than we were hoping, or at least I was hoping. We haven't received confirmation on this ourselves. The information seems to fit in to what we thought the holdup might be for the show's introduction. All along, we were hearing that and even suggesting when we were talking about it that the biggest issue was really not developing the show, but viewing area for the guests. Yes. Park has plenty of water to stage a show, especially they're going to put it in that Expedition Everest area there, that bigger lake. But the vegetation and the size of the walkways were purposely built to not have wide open areas and vistas. So this may be the biggest problems they face, and that may be what we're coming up against. But Andrew, you guys were the ones that introduced us to the Rivers of Light. It seems so long ago now. I'm curious what you think of the time frame and everything we know now.
Of course, no one was hoping for a time frame like this, but given Disney's past in how they execute things, it's not shocking to anybody, right?
No.
Like, is it shocking that it's going to be a year and a half from now? I don't think so, right? Or almost 2 years from now?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't know. But likewise, they could expedite it, I think, if all it is clearing some foliage and putting, like, walkways and seating or whatever. They could probably do it, but I don't think that's really their point, you know? The big rumor is that they're trying to have sort of a down year before everything starts to debut so that they can have a really big year and they can, you know, sort of promote that huge growth at the park.
Right.
You know? That's the big rumor right now, but I don't really buy that necessarily.
No.
I don't know. I don't either. Yeah, I don't necessarily buy it. I think that they understand that to grow, they have to suffer a little bit in the time being. The parade being gone and waiting for this nighttime show or whatever, or even having Festival of the Lion King down. They have to kind of sacrifice something for the park to truly grow, and it's clearly going to pay off.
So since Andrew mentioned this, we might as well get into this next story to kind of jump along here with the Rivers of Light, and that is this past weekend we had two inevitable and well-publicized events occur, which mark another big step in this transformation he's talking about. The Jammin' Jungle Parade closed, the new Festival of the Lion King Theater opens. And like you were saying, I wanted to kind of mention that we had this sort of, you know, double event this weekend, this sort of, you know, another signpost on the path
here.
You know, because I just wanted to kind of reflect on where we are. I think that, you know, there's a few things that we've mentioned already. The building of the new theater. We've mentioned this new place going on in Mombasa. We've mentioned the Avatar being done, the Rivers of Light being worked on. In a couple minutes, I'm going to mention some more construction in other places. I mean, while this is huge, like you said, man, this is only like step number one in many to come, you know?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
I mean... okay, sure. It is. There's a lot coming down the pike. I mean, there's even small things all over Discovery Island, for example, where they're, you know, changing things up a little bit here and there and changing, creature comforts and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of things. Starbucks is coming. But you know what I mean. You know, there's just a lot going on. So you're absolutely right.
Andrew, I'm curious if you feel that we're ready for this, so to speak.
For what? The nighttime show?
New Animal Kingdom, for a completely different Animal Kingdom.
How could we not be ready for it? I don't know. I feel like obviously we are. I mean, they're all positive changes, correct?
Well, we don't know that yet. That's the thing.
Do we not know that?
We don't know what Avatar is going to be. We don't know what Rivers of Light is going to be.
Anything. Okay, so Camp Minnie Mickey, okay? Other than Festival of the Lion King was useless, correct?
Right.
And Festival of the Lion King moved to New Harambe, which is amazing.
Okay.
Correct?
Yes.
Does everyone agree? All three of us? Amazing.
Yep.
So now that parcel of land sits empty and vacant. Okay. If we never want to walk over there, we don't have to. Okay. So anything going there is a step up. Plus, we still have Festival of the Lion King in a newly expanded Harambe, which we love. Yes. So we've already gained. The park's already better. Right. Harambe, literally, if Harambe is the worst thing in the world, the park will still have gained.
But what if it's the best?
Exactly. That's amazing. Because then everyone, when we're rope dropping, will go to Avatar while I'm still going to Primeval World.
What if Avatar ends up more like the reimagined Spaceship Earth than like...
what does that mean? I love the new Spaceship Earth.
Okay, bad example.
Bad example.
The reimagined... Okay, we disagree on that one, but the reimagined...
Seriously?
Yes,
the reimagined... It's been reimagined since 2007. That is classic. Spaceship Earth now.
It's dreadful. Spaceship
Earth. Classic.
The reimagined Imagination Pavilion when they did that last time. What if Avatar is more along that line than what we have?
That's the thing. They're not reimagining anything. If I don't like it, I'll never go over there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. The fact is, now I never go over there. Like, I didn't when it was Camp Minnie Mickey. And if I don't like it now, I won't go over there. Mm-hmm. If it looks anything like the model... Which I imagine it will, because they're really good at doing models of what they're doing, correct? A New Fantasyland's a great example. It's identical to the model. Then I'll definitely go over there just for atmosphere. You know, I don't care about the franchise at all. Like, I couldn't care less, you know?
Yeah.
And if it's bad, I'll never go over. No harm, no foul. I don't care.
Right. And even if they build the boat ride, let's assume that they build the two things they're going to build. So even if the Soarin' thrill ride kind of thing is just not... good. How bad could a boat ride really be?
Right. Thank you. I mean, it could be, but it's not going to be that bad. And the fact is, Camp Minnie Mickey was like the one bad little seed in the park that I really, really love. Like everything else I love so much. Like Dinoland, I know a lot of people have a problem with, but I think it's perfection. Like I think the park was perfect other than that. So to me, it looks like they're taking this one little bad area and they're going to try to make it better. And if it ends up any better than Camp Minnie Mickey, which I am 90% sure that it will be, that's amazing. You know, they're trying to make the park better. And I honestly think that, even though I don't like necessarily where they're drawing it from, I think that it's going to be better.
Guys, I have a question for you that I want both of you to answer. And it has to do with the Jammin' Jungle Parade. Do you think there will eventually be another afternoon daily parade at the Animal Kingdom? And do you think there should be?
Yes and yes.
Yep. My mic?
I'm not sure, but yes. I like the parade. I like having the parade there, but I keep going back to this. I don't know what Winged Encounters is. And I'm not sure if they're going to be able to do a parade, if they're going to be doing the show all through Discovery Island.
Okay. Yeah, good point.
So, I mean, people talk about, and people on Twitter and all that kind of stuff keep saying, oh, you know, they closed the parade and there's nothing to replace it, and that's sad. I don't know if that's true. I mean, we have to see what Winged Encounters is to see if, because that's sort of kind of the replacement, because that's going to be going around Discovery Island, and it's going to be a show. So we'll see what that is first.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep.
I mean, it could be lame. I mean, I don't want, it could be a hard time finding macaws in the trees and stuff. Or it could be awesome to see flocks of macaws flying over you and all that kind of stuff. We have to see. We have to see what it is.
And macaws are impressive.
Until they poop on your kid.
Yeah, no. As long as they don't poop on me.
Well, they're going to poop on somebody. They're birds. They don't have sphincters. They're pooping on somebody.
But you got to remember, there's hundreds and hundreds of people on Discovery Island, right? To watch this. The chances of you getting hit are minimal. But if you see somebody getting hit, that's hysterical.
Right. It is, but then sometime you will get hit. One time you're going to get hit. Or, like, it's something you're eating is going to get hit. Well, that's worse.
That's happened to me before in Magic Kingdom.
Yes, it happens to me all the time. Like, on a daily basis, I'm getting pooped on by birds.
You may want to move.
It's the worst. We have so many birds here.
While we're speaking of birds, let me transition smoothly onto this one. We all know about the Yeti, right? The Expedition Everest hasn't worked for ages, but there is another sort of...
Wait, what? Doesn't work?
What?
There's another lesser known effect that has also been missing for quite a while. And one I have to say I'm really kind of happy is back in operation. Do you guys remember the bird? Mike, I think it was an owl, right?
No, it's like a hawk.
Come on.
It's like a hawk eagle.
It's a hawk? Okay.
Come on.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, like a bird of prey of some kind.
It's an eagle. Come on.
It was not an eagle.
It's an eagle. I've seen it in person.
So have I.
It's an eagle.
Been ages.
No, I saw it within the last year. It works on and off.
Are you sure it's not an owl?
It's an eagle. Come on.
Owl.
not an owl.
Well, it seems like it's back in operation. And the reason why I say this is because apparently we're hearing now, cast members have been telling me, and I think telling you guys too, that there's been quite a bit of work being done on Expedition Everest.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of work on it. I saw a video just the other day of them with the upturned track that supposedly was ripped up by the Yeti. Has actually been turned off. I mean, pulled out for whatever reason. I'm not sure if it's even back yet now, but for at least for a couple of days, you were riding the track and you were going up to the part where, you know, where Stacy says there doesn't seem to be a track and there's
where the
nothing
eagle
there.
Is. Where the eagle is.
Right, where the owl is.
It doesn't and appear you to be can... any track.
There doesn't and it almost looks to be like... any track.
It almost looks like it could fall right off. I mean, it just looks like it'll keep on going. They're doing some serious work.
Let's see.
But it's working. I mean, you can go on it. I mean, it's not, it's just a little unusual.
But what we know is that it's not going to be the Yeti being fixed.
No, it's not going to be that. They're never fixing it. They're not fixing the Yeti. It's never going to happen. I'm sorry.
Well, it may one day happen, but it's going to be quite a ways down the road.
They're not fixing it until they can close Expedition Everest for a lengthy period of time without it affecting the park.
Right.
Correct?
Correct.
And that's a while away.
That's a while away. That's not
at least 2017.
That's 2017, exactly.
Correct.
Yeah.
So let's see where we go to next. Let's do some animal stuff and get some all insightful right. animal information from Mike here.
Oh, boy.
I was really happy to hear that I believe, Mike, you said 3 Grevy zebras now on the Pangani Forest Trail?
Correct. Yeah, I heard a couple weeks ago a cast member tell me that they were trying to put an animal there where the meerkats are. For people who remember when the park first opened, there was meerkats there, and then there was warthogs to sort of, you know, replicate the Timon and Pumbaa atmosphere, I guess, for lack of a better term. And then they moved to Gerenuk's, the gazelle, antelopes back there for a little bit. But the exhibit itself has the meerkats up front, and then there's like a field behind it that's kind of separated off from the meerkats, and they finally put 3 Grevy zebra back there.
And Mike, I have got a question for you. There was a Grevy zebra or two that was part of the introduction of zebras into Kilimanjaro safaris that we all know went wrong.
There was one. There was actually just one.
There was, okay.
And I don't know if this one is one of those 3. I don't know. I would assume so, but I don't know that.
See, that's the question I have, is what do they do with those things? What do they do with these animals when they can no longer be on... You know what I mean?
Well, there's certainly plenty of room in the back for them to have the zebra, and that's probably where they were. But I don't know if Andrew's seen this as well, but while I was riding the safaris last time I was down there, you would see a couple of zebra out where the rhinos are and the ostriches are, not in the, you know, finale, obviously, where the attics currently are, where they intended them to be. But they were periodically putting out a couple of zebra in the main, in that bigger savanna area.
We actually saw that in person.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did see that.
There was a couple of them. It wasn't the whole herd of 14 or so. It was
We definitely saw that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what they were doing with them.
Cool. Got some more animal stuff. This is an interesting thing that Mike brought up to us not long ago. It seems like about 2 weeks ago or so, you were telling us that vets at Rafiki's Planet Watch have performed an examination on a Sumatran tiger. Now, I'll give you a little background information so I don't sound like I know nothing. The animal kingdom has only ever had what they call Asian tigers.
Right.
Which is really just a fancy way of saying a tiger of sort of mixed background. They're really not... part of a species survival plan at all. The Sumatran tiger, however, is a critically endangered species of tiger. And Mike, what you were reporting is that we know that the animal kingdom now has a female from, I believe you said, the Atlanta Zoo?
Correct. And they're getting a male.
And they're hoping to breed on the way. So let's keep the jokes to yourself, gentlemen. It is hoped that the female will be on exhibit, right? And that kittens won't be far behind.
They're hopeful. I mean, they're going to be part of the SSP, the Species Survival Program for the Sumatran Tigers. So the whole plan is to have these two. I believe the male was from, I'd have to check my notes, but it might be Houston or something like that. So we're getting a male and a female, and the hope is there'll be little baby tigers running around the Maharaja Jungle Trek soon, which they've never had because they've always had the Asian tigers, which I would, I believe they were all female. Some of them have recently passed away because they were getting kind of old.
Yes.
And since they were Asian tigers, they were not purebred. I believe they were all spayed. So there was no way there was ever going to have any kittens or anything like that. Well, or cubs, I should say, while we were with those. So this will be a little different.
I think this is cool and exciting news.
Well, what I like about it, and with the Grevy Zebra, I mean, we keep talking about, and I think we talked about this, Dave, one of the downfalls of perhaps Avatar Land was this focus away from, like, the animals and the conservation into thrill rides and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But even as that's going on, they are really kind of doing some new stuff. Because I think the trails, while are beautiful, Pangani and Maharaja, there have been, not neglected so much, but, I mean, the tapir passed away and they just threw some ducks in there.
Right.
The tigers were getting kind of old. The meerkats were, you know, an older group. They just replaced those, actually. The meerkats that are there now are much younger and much more active. And they left that the area behind them pretty much empty for at least a year or two. So they seem to be sprucing that up a little bit and focusing at least on, you know, making sure that those trails are not only beautiful to walk through, but the animals are, you know, maybe having some cubs and some younger animals, right, having, you know, all that kind of stuff. So hopefully they'll put something in that tapir spot. Hopefully it's another tapir, but hopefully they will do something there too.
And since we're on to doing things for animals, the cotton-top tamarins, this is another thing we've been reporting, are getting a new habitat, correct?
Right, correct. We're on Discovery Island. Currently, they're right at the front. I don't know. There's actually a couple of groups. There's that one. There's the one on the trail that leads from the train to Rafiki's. I'm not sure if this is going to be even an additional group because the cotton-top tamarins are critically endangered, so they're heavy on the SSP program as well. And, you know, there's only maybe 5,000 to 6,000 left in the wild. So having a, you know, breeding pairs in Animal Kingdom can't hurt for sure. So I'm not sure if it's going to be a third exhibit of them or just they're going to move them from where they currently are over to this new exhibit, which is right in front of Creature Comforts, I believe.
Very, very cool. That's it for the local news, guys. When we come back, we're going to hand the show over to Safari Mike, who will bring us the world news. So stay tuned. Coming back in just a second.
Jennifer Green of Destinations in Florida is the official travel partner of Radio Harambe and JomboEveryone.com. Jen can do everything you need done in order to book your next Walt Disney World vacation and have the time of your life. She is an expert in everything Disney and will remove all the stress of booking your trip. And she is as committed to conservation as we are. So every vacation you book, or even every quote you request, means Jen and Destinations in Florida will make a donation to the Jumbo Everyone conservation effort. You can contact Jen directly by emailing her at jennifer.g@destinationsinflorida.com or by calling her directly at 443-424-0181. You can also head over to JomboEveryone.com and click the Destinations in Florida icon to get your vacation started. Seriously, what can be better than booking a Disney World vacation while helping to save wildlife?
Welcome back to Radio Harambe. It is time for the world news, and as always, that means we hand it over to Safari Mike. Mike, what do we got this week?
Sure, Dave. We're going to talk about the inner workings of Disney as well as Wilderness Lodge. But first, I know you love this story, so I wanted to bring it up. You love the attendance figures that come out every year, like right around this time. And there are some interesting things about it. Number one is, well, first of all, relevant to the show is the Animal Kingdom continues to be a little bit ahead of the Hollywood Studios. Animal Kingdom 7th, Hollywood Studios is 8th. Some of the interesting things, though, is Disneyland Park in Paris plummeted 7%. So now Epcot is the 5th most attended theme park in the world, while Disneyland Paris is 6th. The parks in Tokyo have really, I mean, they just continually grow and grow and grow. Tokyo Disneyland is now number two, and it grew almost 16% over the last year, and Tokyo Disney Sea is number four.
Wow.
And the other big one is SeaWorld in Orlando, you know, is continuing to fall flat on its face.
Yeah,
it's 5% loss, and now it's 19th in the world. So those were the sort of the interesting things about it.
Yeah, I mean, SeaWorld really...
Well, SeaWorld is disgusting, yeah, and got, Tokyo Disneyland is awesome.
Yeah. Well, I do like to... I do enjoy this. I don't know why. I don't know why I get a pleasure out of the Animal Kingdom having better numbers in the Hollywood studios. I have no idea why.
I understand why, because the studio sucks.
Yeah, but why do I care? Why do I care that it's better? It makes no difference to
me. It makes a difference to me, though. Like, if it was up to me, it would be doing better than a lot of places, you know, but it's not.
Well,
the studios is the worst.
Yeah, studios is the worst. I don't know why it's eighth.
I can't believe that it's doing better than SeaWorld, which I hate.
Oh, SeaWorld's not doing well at all. It's 19th. I mean, it's well below Universal Studios and all that kind of stuff. So,
and as we learned from your latest, or not your latest, but from the episode a week or so ago, you
don't
feel that Universal Studios is better than Hollywood Studios, correct?
Obviously it is. How is Universal's numbers compared to Hollywood Studios?
Universal is 16th.
Universal Studios Florida is 16th?
Yes, it's 16th. Yep. And Islands of Adventure is 11th. However, interestingly enough, Universal Studios in Florida grew 14%, so it really is climbing, while Islands of Adventure grew only 2%. And, of course, Universal Studios Florida is about to get the second Harry Potter, so I imagine it's going to grow even more next year. So it'll climb up the list a little bit more, I would think.
Well, I'm just going to say this really quick, and I'm sure it's going to garner a lot of hate among the Universal Studios fans, but I really love Universal Studios. I think that it's a wonderful park. And you might judge me for that, Universal Studios fans, because I'm such a hater. And even though I say I love that park so much, and I'm such a horrible human being for saying how much I love the park that you guys love, I just think it's a great park. Send me all your hate mail. I'm sorry that I love the same thing that you do. I'm sorry that I'm such a horrible human being. I'm sorry.
You like Universal Studios a lot better than Islands of Adventure, though.
No, this is where I really, truly get the hate without being a sarcastic jerk. Universal is awesome. Islands of Adventure is the trashiest park I've ever been to in my life. It is disgusting. And you see women walking around in bikinis, which might be fine for you guys, but it's not something that I want to see. And also, it's not only women walking around in bikinis. It's like 75-year-old grandmas walking around in bikinis. Or 11-year-old girls. There's no in between.
Right.
It's either 11-year-old tweens or 75-year-old grandmas. Nothing good to look at. It's horrible.
Well, I don't plan on going anytime soon. So
it's disgusting. Really, you shouldn't go. But really, like I said, Universal Studios is actually quite awesome, and I loved it.
I've actually been to Universal Studios.
30 years ago.
Yeah, about 100 years ago, back when King Kong was still there and all that kind of stuff. And I hated
it.
Yeah, I hated it. It was terrible. But I've never been to Islands of Adventure.
No.
Universal's apparently gotten much better. Adam went maybe 10 years ago, and then we went, of course, a couple months ago. And it's really phenomenal. It's a great park.
It looks better. I would definitely go.
Not me.
We would never try.
And it has nothing to do with, I'm not a person who thinks I would only go to Disney. I don't care about that. It's just there is really nothing. When I look at what they have to offer, there's nothing there that moves me. There's nothing there that makes me say I need to go rent a car and spend extra money to go.
You don't want to go to the Simpsons Land and have a Duff beer at Moe's? Because it's awesome. Oh my God, it's amazing.
The Simpsons have never done anything for me. They don't do anything for me now. I'm not interested.
That surprises me for some reason because it's so amazing.
No, not interested.
I'd check that out. I'd like to see Potter. I'd like to see...
Yeah, Potter's great. Potter is wonderful. Simpsons area is wonderful. I do not like the Simpsons ride at all. It's the worst thing in the world. But the Simpsons area is really fabulous.
I could be the last person on the planet who has never read one line of a Potter book or seen 1 minute of a Potter film.
They're good.
I have no basis whatsoever on them, so I have no interest.
They're good movies.
Again, I'm not saying I don't like these things or I'm not judging them. There's just nothing there that makes me say I need to rent a car and go spend however much money it is to go over there. There's just
how could you not like Potter?
I've never seen it. I have nothing to like or not like.
It has nothing to do. Just freaking read the book. It's a nice, beautiful summer right now. Like, spend some time outdoors and read one of these books in the park or something. I'm telling you, you'll form an attachment very quickly.
I doubt that.
I do not doubt it at all. As someone who's been reading these since I was 12 years old, I do not doubt it for 2 seconds. They're amazing.
Okay.
I grew up with Harry Potter.
Let's not get into it. Let's not diverge back into Universal. Mike, what's next on the news?
Okay, Dave. Nick Franklin, who is essentially the executive in charge of My Magic Plus, is leaving the company amidst the controversy of the My Magic Plus falling flat on its face and not doing what it's supposed to do, even though Disney keeps releasing things that, you know, this is great and this is the best thing we've ever done. You hear that inside they're not happy about it.
No.
And Mr. Franklin's gone. So, interesting.
Wow. Can't believe it. I'm stunned. I can't believe he lasted this long, to be honest with you. When you consider the amount they invested in it, I can't believe he lasted this long.
That poor guy. I love My Magic Plus. I love it.
I could say, here's how, without knowing the inner workings of Disney, if this was not, if all this guy was the guy who, when some other person came up with the idea and then handed it over to him to execute and he got it wrong, then yeah, I would say you're right. It's the poor guy, because it was probably not the greatest of ideas to begin with.
Right.
But the guy, if he's the guy who thought of it, then he deserves to be gone. Go find. Because that's just too much. It's just too much money. You can't spend that much money on such get so little return, you know, for a theme park and maintain your position. That's just not how these things work.
It's not like he was just given $1 billion and told to go do something. I mean, you know, it got approved. Iger can't like wash his hands of it. I mean, if it is a complete failure, he can't. He approved it. I mean, you know, it's not.
I don't think. I mean, guys, you don't think it's a complete failure, correct?
I don't think it's a complete
failure. No, right. I don't either.
I think we all. I mean, I think the criticism that we have. I mean, the criticism that I've always had is that it is just a very poor expenditure of that amount of money.
I don't think it's even that. Oh. I legitimately love it. Like, I wasn't being sarcastic at all.
It's not.
Like, both of us really love it.
I go ahead, Mike.
I like it. I like some of the aspects of it. I like FastPass Plus. I like being able to book my stuff.
It's wonderful.
60 yeah. days in advance. I like the fact now that you can park hop. I like the fact that you can get additional FastPasses. My biggest issue with it is they're almost force feeding it to you on every other park but Magic Kingdom, and it's creating lines
right.
where there
You're
weren't
right.
before.
You're right.
That's
You're right.
That's my only issue with it. It's creating lines at Spaceship Earth and Haunted Mansion, a great movie ride, and
right.
where you never had that before. You could walk right. on Haunted Mansion almost all the time, and now you can't. And that's a problem, I think. I think that's a legit issue
the
with it.
The only reason that hasn't become a problem for us is that I don't care about riding rides at all. You know? Like, I go to Disney World to, like, soak up atmosphere, and I know that that's abnormal
right.
for
yeah.
most people going. I do understand that, but for me, that has not been a problem, because I can go on Haunted Mansion once, you know, on a trip, and that's perfect or fine. Same thing for everything, you know? I just need to go on it, like, once, and if it happens to be a low line when I go, no problem. But I go for a week, mm-hmm. and I do experience everything that I want to, regardless of how long I wait, you know? And I choose to not wait in any lines at all, which is why I rope drop places.
Well, I've said it a million times before. The only experience I had with it was a very bad one. It was also very early
right.
on. It was also
right.
very early on. So things may be different now. We're going back soon, so I may have a better experience with it. But even if it all worked perfectly from the word go,
yeah,
it's still... is not an worth an expenditure of $1 billion. It's
right,
just not that impactful of a change to the park to spend that kind of money. It is not anywhere even near that kind of expenditure. That's my only point. I mean, do you think of what they could build with $1 billion?
Yeah, Star Wars land.
They could exactly. I mean,
they could build a whole freaking park.
They could build a whole park. Exactly. I mean, that's impactful. That's something, and then, you know, that's something that I would be happy with. This is just not enough for that. So that's why I think this guy's ended up, you know, it's costing him his job. So, and that, I have no problem with that. That's a decision they make internally.
But this guy left his job. Well, correct?
He did. He didn't, but... right?
Did he go to spend time with his family?
I don't think he got fired. I think he honestly left after getting flack. I don't know.
Yeah, he's going to go to Universal to make them a My Magic Plus equivalent.
Yeah, it'll be more successful than Disney.
What's next?
They'll do it faster. Right, I'll tell you that.
What's next, Mike?
One more story real quick, Dave. The Roaring Forks, they are testing what they're calling Fast Casual, which is going to start coming to, I think, more counter services, at least in the hotels. And that is essentially you go up, you order your food, you pay for it, and then you go sit down and let them bring it to you. It's pretty much what they're doing currently at the Be Our Guest lunchtime. And it's geared towards allowing you to spend more time with your family so, you know, somebody's just not standing up at the counter waiting for the food and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's one step closer to you being able to order your, you know, counter service meals on your phone before you even show up to the place. I think that's what we're eventually getting at here. And this is another step of testing that.
No, I like that idea.
I do, too.
I love progress. Sorry, I'm playing on Instagram. I'm sorry.
Well, since we're boring him into Instagram, let's take another break.
You're really not boring me.
We're going to take another break, and then he's going to have to wake up because the next section is all about you, my friend. So you're gonna have
I'll
to
still
put
be
the,
terribly bored.
You're going to have to put the Instagram away. We're going to be back in just a second on Radio Harambe.
I haven't brushed my hair or teeth or put my shoes on yet. And it might seem kind of trivial in the grand scheme of things, but I get pretty teary-eyed when the choir starts to sing.
And welcome back to Radio Harambe. And Mike, this is the first feature section in our 30-plus episodes, which is not going to be completely Animal Kingdom focused.
That's actually not true.
This is the only one we've ever
Come on, Mike, make me feel special.
One we've ever done that's not completely Animal Kingdom focused.
Okay, even though it's not true, you're right, Dave. Well, there you go, Andrew.
Make me feel special. Come on, it is
only happening in this episode because both Mike and I love our guests so damn much. We wanted to give him his own section of the show to promote the amazing work he is doing right now. And and I'm not talking about the podcast or the blog. They're both great. We know that already. But today, we are here to discuss what I believe. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Obviously, I'm wrong about the first thing I said. Is the first album of all original songs based entirely on the subject of Walt Disney World.
That could be true.
I don't know any others. It's called Let's Move to Disney World. And... Andrew, all of the profits, correct, are going to...
Give Kids a World.
Okay, let's start with that right off the top.
Yeah. Give Kids a World is a organization that provides cost-free dream vacations to children and their families and with the children suffering from terminal illnesses, essentially. And it's a horrible, horrible thing that kids have to suffer through this, but this is a great organization that helps ease them during their time of struggle and provides them with essentially something that every kid should have, which is this amazing experience at Disney World. And I, as basically a grown-up kid who goes to Disney World, understands like this magic that Disney brings to my life. And every kid should have that. And it makes them stronger, you know? And I honestly believe that. It's something very dear to my heart. I'm so excited to help raise money for this amazing organization.
So let's start with the album, but I want you to kind of go back a little bit. Tell us about the genesis of the project, and you go back as far as you want. Like,
all right,
you know how you know you go back and when you started to love Disney or when you decided to do this or all of that stuff.
All right, well, I people know my story pretty well. You know, I'm on like a popular podcast. I've been on your show a couple of times. You guys have been on my show, etc. People know like my genesis as a Disney fan in general. But when I started Disney Hipster Blog in 2011, it was supposed to be a blog about the art and aesthetic critique of Disney World, essentially, and the Disney company in general. And then it also one of our like side projects was being making creative original content about Disney, you know? So I would make visual art, painting, sculpture, whatever, based on my favorite Disney things. Like I was doing like formal portraits of Sunny Eclipse, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then one of the very first projects I did was I made a video. I made an art piece called The Country Bear Tree, which was formal portraits of the country bears, but they were on leaves and they were on a giant tree. And I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. So I wrote an original song about that called Country Bear Tree, which is on the album, and made a little music video for it or whatever. And over the course of the last 3 years, which the blog has been in existence, I happen to have made several songs, right? And I go, oh, I should probably do something with these songs. I have a background in music and I've, you know, written all these songs. Why not put them together in an album, supplement it with a couple new songs that aren't on YouTube or the blog or anything, and release a record and help raise money for a good cause?
Now, tell me if I'm correct here.
Yes.
It sounds a little bit like you're going for kind of a children's record vibe.
Okay.
I mean, maybe in some respects it sounds that way, but you really, for people who listen to it, you really need to be an adult who knows Disney World in order to get some of these things, don't you think?
Right. So it has a childlike sound to it. That's what we call faux knife, you know, which is a basically fake childlike whimsy, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm a musician. I make actual albums, you know, more adult albums or whatever. And I take that very seriously, but this is on purpose sounding like a child, you know. I use a lot of glockenspiel, melodica, ukulele, things like that.
Right.
What people would consider more naive sounding instruments. And then, of course, my voice is even more ridiculous singing as it is talking, if you can imagine that. Which is 100% true. Very pitchy and very grating and annoying. I'll be the first one to admit that. But above everything else, I'm a songwriter. And like you were saying, sometimes the jokes, not, they shouldn't go over anyone's head, obviously. But there's references, you know. None of it's adult at all. But I'm talking very blatantly about Disney World and about things that I love, you know.
Now, tell me a little bit about the certainly about the recording process, and the writing process. For one thing, all of these songs are written by you, correct?
Yep, everything is written. Every word on is written by me, and every instrument on the entire album is played by me as well.
That's what I was going to ask you again, because there is a lot of instrumentation on the record.
Yeah, I play everything on the record.
It's not just a guy and a guitar here. It's not.
Nope. I wrote, recorded, played, and produced, mixed the whole thing, everything myself.
Now, since we are an Animal Kingdom podcast,
yes,
we're going to take a little short musical interlude here and play you a little clip from a song dedicated to, well, you'll hear it as soon as it comes on, what he's dedicating this song to. So let's take a listen to this and come back on the other side.
Fun until we hit a bump. Primeval world is the only thing I love until we hit a curve. Oh, why do you hate me? As we drop. Oh, why do you hate me?
So that's the Primeval World tune.
That might be my favorite one. I'm not sure.
I knew it would be, Mike. Tell me.
I also like the Norway Pavilion one.
I like that.
Here's where, and I feel like a good opportunity on your guys' show to talk about this because we're close, you know, like I feel like we're like blog brothers.
Right.
Because I haven't really had a chance to talk about this on other people's shows or whatever. But something that I haven't talked about is that I feel like this record, as childlike as it is and about as Disney as it is, especially Primeval World and the Norway song, which is funny that you mentioned in my, there's like a sort of a melancholy aspect to them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm singing about this roller coaster, which I love, you know, but people hate it. And that was sort of the jumping off point for the song is like, why do people hate this awesome roller coaster? Why are we as Disney fans compelled to have this strong negative opinion about something? It's horrible. And I don't know. I just feel like Primeval World gets the bum end of the stick, you know? It's horrible.
From a musical standpoint, just mm-hmm. That's why I asked the question early on, is that I don't want anybody to think that this sounds like a children's. There's certainly art here. This isn't just like, you know.
Right. It's not a children's record, although I should mention that it did debut at number one on the children's charts on iTunes last week.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying. Number one.
You're not saying anything.
Exactly. And number 21 on the alternative folk chart. Just a few spots south of Tori Amos. I'm just saying. Which is true. I'm very proud of that.
And I like the Primeval World one, Mike. And because you said it was one of your favorites, too. And I want you to say why. But I kind of liked it because there is this sort of like, it doesn't just retell the story. It kind of focuses on a little bit of the sort of wackiness of Primeval World in its story as well. There's a whole sort of like feel, this kind of vibe to the song that, you know, I could put this on my headset and ride Primeval World with this on.
And, you know, a lot of people do. People send us vines all the time of them singing my songs on the attractions. And I want to discourage them for safety issues. You know, or also annoyance issues, because on Primeval World, you know, you're often with another family, or on Living with the Land, it's a dark ride. Please do not sing my Living with the Land song on a dark ride. Please just save it for the streets.
I have to admit, though, we will sometimes sing Primeval World as we're queuing up for it. I don't necessarily sing while I'm riding it.
That's totally different. As long as you tell other people where it's from.
Well, this begs this next question. Are you, Andrew, in fact, afraid of starting a trend in which you yourself may end up being elbowed in the face by a park fanatic five minutes before Wishes?
No, I'll kill them. Can I say the B word real quick?
Go ahead. I got the bleepers.
I'll kill those stupid bitches. I will. I'll freaking kill them. Don't try to get in front of me at Wishes. I literally will kill you. I'll stab you in the eye.
I want you to talk a little bit about that song because give a little synopsis of that tune.
Okay. So this is one of the original songs that I wrote specifically for the album. Okay. Everything else is like songs that were, you know, just for the blog or whatever. And this is one that's been in my head forever because I sing it when I'm getting ready for Wishes. Okay, for everyone who doesn't know, because this is an Animal Kingdom podcast, Wishes is the nighttime spectacular at the Magic Kingdom. And I am dedicated to it severely. Like, I have to see it five or six times every trip, okay? And so as me and Adam are getting ready for it every trip, because me and him like to take a long break in the middle of the day or whatever and get ready for whatever we're doing at night. And I'll be trying to rush out the door at Animal Kingdom Lodge, trying to get there on time. And then Adam will insist on parking at the TTC. And then we're stuck on the monorail. And then all of a sudden it's like Wishes is starting in 5 minutes and I'm not yet at Magic Kingdom. And I start freaking out. So this is a song portraying my terror as Wishes is dawning closer and closer. And so the song is called 30 Minutes to Wishes. And it's sort of a countdown of the show actually happening and how I'm panicking.
And how your panic turns into violence as the minutes tick by.
Just as the very end. It's not violence. Elbowing someone in the face, that's a love nudge. Like, get out of my way before I stab you in the eye with a pickaxe.
Mike, did you have any questions about it?
About that particular song?
No, in general.
No, I think we covered most of them. Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Tell us, first of all, I want you to tell us how everybody can get this. But before we do that,
I do have another question, actually.
Go ahead.
Are you going to do another album, Andrew?
I've been asked this question. This record came out yesterday, and since it came out yesterday morning, I've been asked this maybe approximately 35,000 times.
Good, you can answer it here. Nobody will have to ask again.
So the answer is that over the course of the next couple of years, I probably will, in the same vein that I recorded this one, over time,
and would you know. And would you do it for charity again?
It will, 100% of the profits will always go to Give Kids a World. As far as my music's concerned, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just that I don't like to make money off of something I have so much fun making. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't ever want to make money off of that because I do it for fun. I don't do it for money, you know? I know that sounds so corny and like so phony, but that's the case. I have so much fun doing it. I don't want to make money off of it. I want to, you know, help people. That's what my blog is for. We don't make money off of it.
I love even the title and the title track, Let's Move to Disney World. I mean, how many people have said that at over?
That song can be very poignant.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of people keep asking me about that one in particular. The title track is this song about Adam, you know, who's my husband or whatever. And he actually asked me too, when I first played it for him, because I wrote it and recorded it in a matter of like 30 minutes while he was at work, you know, one day. And I played it for him because I was like, oh, listen to the song I wrote about Disney World. And he goes, oh, is that song about me? I said, no, that song's totally about me. You know, it's one of the lines I can't remember because I'm really drunk right now. But one of the lines at the end is when you're on Main Street, you're someone else, you know, and that's about me. You know, in my day to day life, I can be a grumpy jerk, you know, and when I'm on Main Street, I'm a totally different person. And that's how I feel when I'm at Disney World. And I want to sort of like help people understand, like, that's why as an adult, I like Disney World. Because I feel like a little kid, basically.
And it ends, the album ends with a song, Dream of Disneyland.
Yes.
Which, it's another thing that all the Florida Disney World fanatics probably all do. Dream of Disneyland.
Of course, because Disneyland's the best. It's the best. I love it.
Well, tell us where we can get it.
Okay. You can, honestly, if you type this in on any major online outlet of music, you'll be able to find it. As of right now, the main resource obviously is iTunes. You can type in Disney Hipster Andrew and it'll come right up. It's on Google Music, Amazon MP3, CD Baby, Rhapsody, MySpace Music, and Spotify. It's on a million different things, but the best one obviously is iTunes. CD Baby, FYI, has the cheapest price, which I think is $4.99. But on iTunes, it's like $7-something. So it might be worth your convenience just to buy it there.
And we have a digital copy to give away, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Courtesy of Derek Bergen.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't give you anything.
He actually bought it for us to give away. It was very nice of him.
He's so sweet. I love that guy. He's the best.
So we have this to give away. It's. I believe we'll end up emailing you a code. And how this is going to work is, this is Andrew's suggestion. If you go on to iTunes and leave us a rating, leave us a review.
Not a rating, a review. Because you'll be able to see who left you a review.
Leave a review for the Radio Harambe podcast. If you do so before, let's see, what would the, let me get my calendar out here. Before midnight on the 14th of June, then you will be entered into a drawing to win your own digital copy of.
And you need to say, I love Disney Hipster Andrew. I just made an addendum to this. If you say that, then you're eligible to win.
In the review, you have to say that.
You have to. I insist on it.
Excellent. So leave a review for the show and you will be entered into a drawing for Let's Move to Disney World from Andrew. Andrew, we can't thank you enough for coming and for talking and also for doing this. I mean, anytime somebody gives their talent and their time to such a cause, I mean, it's something that, you know, you should be very proud of and that I can't thank you enough for doing.
My pleasure. I absolutely love coming on your guys' show. It's amazing.
And before we go, I want you to plug your other stuff here.
Sure. So I'm Disney Hipster Andrew, obviously. You can find me weekly on Disney Hipster Podcast, which if it's on iTunes, just type that in. You'll find it. And my daily blog posts are on DisneyHipsters.com. I'm on Twitter at Disney Hipsters, Facebook.com/DisneyHipsters. Also on Instagram, Google Plus, and other random things. I mostly love Untapped, which is a beer website. That's my favorite. But find us on Twitter. That's our main thing.
Well, thank you all once again for listening to Radio Harambe. Before we go, let me remind you to check out our store at Zazzle.com/JomboEveryone. They have some great designs there, including our Not a Half Day Park t-shirt. I also have some new t-shirts coming. Stay tuned for that. That's our next little sort of fundraising thing. I got some really cool t-shirts coming out soon, but more on that next show. Also, our very own fellow writer for JomboEveryone.com, Brooke, has made and is selling some great animal-inspired, safari-inspired bracelets. She'll be donating all the proceeds of those sales to our conservation partners. Two ways to learn about that. You can go to the blog by heading JomboEveryone and clicking on the link to the blog. And at the very top right on the sidebar of the blog, you'll actually find a photo of the bracelet. You can click through there and you get all the information you need. You can also email me at JomboEveryone@gmail.com and I can send you anything you need to know. They are $18. That includes shipping within the continental U.S. Payments are PayPal only, so contact us about those. They really look great. Please visit our website, JomboEveryone.com. As I mentioned before, visit our conservation page. See how we can all help save wildlife. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Radio Harambe, though very few of you seem to know that. However, everyone seems to know that Safari Mike is found
at JomboEveryone.
Yep. We are also
jealous, Dave.
No, it's really good that they should follow you, Mike, because you respond to these. I'm not on Twitter. If you want to talk to me, if you want, go to Facebook. I do the Facebook thing.
No, so you need to get on Twitter.
Twitter is too. I don't have the time.
No, trust me. There's some catty nonsense on Twitter.
I am on Twitter.
Certainly was this week.
No, don't even get me started.
I am on Twitter. I do look at it. It seems to be the kind of medium that, in order for, if you know, you need to be a little bit more involved than I am on it. I have the Facebook. I do the blog. I do all that other kind of stuff. We're also on YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest. You go to the links at JomboEveryone.com. As we said, subscribe to the show on iTunes, rate and leave us a review there. This week, if you leave us a review, you'll be entered into the drawing to win Disney Hipster Andrew's Let's Move to Disney World album. And
again, thanks to Derek Bergen from Pardon the Pixie Dust podcast.
How amazing
for that.
Was that?
That was
amazing. It was very nice. Yeah, very
what
nice.
What a nice thing to do. That's great.
So for Safari Mike and Andrew, I'm Dave McBride. Kwa Harini, go well, and thank you all for listening to Radio Harambe. Now, Wow.